Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to another episode of Pod TST. Every week, I, Kenneth Arthur, I'll preview the Rams game with somebody from the other side, and I think we're all on the same side of life, especially these days. Hey, let's all band together, except for when those two teams are playing up against each other, then we hate each other, and this is a time for anger and disruption. An emotion. And with me to talk about that anger, one of the angriest guys I think I've ever met in my life. Just a very, what a rude guy. Just kidding. One of the nicest people instantly off of the bat. Burned, I'm going to do it, Buchmesser. What is
pretty
it?
Cute. That was active. That was actually as close to perfect as I've ever heard.
Give me the native perfect English speakers. Give me the perfect Sorry? Version. What's the perfect version?
Buchmesser.
Well, yeah,
but that's like, you know, that's like the German pronunciation. Uh-huh. And I know that, and I understand that most people can't do that outside of like the four German speaking countries in the world. So
yeah,
I'm not too worried about that.
I've got a German grandmother. I've got, I've got German roots deep inside of me.
It comes natural to you is what you
comes
saying.
A little bit naturally. Plus I just watched the whole series Dark in the quarantine. So I'm very,
I haven't seen that yet, but I saw a trailer and it looked pretty good.
It's phenomenal. I mean, it's really fantastic. It's very smarter. It's much smarter than me. I mean, I was about to say very smarter. So it's clearly smarter than I am. But yeah, good show on Netflix, three seasons, totally compact. You're in and out. You got to stick with it is what they say about some shows. That's very clear about Dark, so to speak. But let's move on from one time loop to another as the Patriots. You know, this is such an interesting they're starting a new loop with a new quarterback and a new start in many ways. Burned, the Patriots are taking on the Rams this Thursday. It's a short turnaround. Let's have a quick casual chat about it. How do you feel given that the Patriots just came off of a 45-0 win over the LA Chargers, their most complete dominant performance, obviously, of Cam Newton's Patriots career, and probably one of the most dominant of Bill Belichick's, you know, you don't do a lot in 45-0 in your career. And this is a long, long 21-22 season career for Bill Belichick. How do you feel coming straight off of that into this Thursday night game?
I have to be honest, I'm not really sure what to make of that game because the Patriots have played a lot of close ones, and that was the first blowout victory that they have all season. So there's a part of me that thinks, yeah, well, maybe it's a flash in the pan. Maybe it's just, you know how it is. Once teams get rolling and everything works perfectly, and the Patriots had phenomenal play in all three phases. There's no denying that. But at one point, the Chargers with the rookie quarterback, it just started snowballing and they never stood a chance, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, watching the game in a vacuum feels really good because 45-0 is amazing.
Yeah.
Just to watch. Unless you're a Chargers fan, of course.
Right.
The thing that I felt most confident coming out of the game is that it was another good performance after the Patriots already beat the Cardinals last week. They won on the last second field goal. It was a close one compared to Sunday's game. But that's back-to-back games in which the team looked good, looked better than it did earlier during the season.
Yeah.
So the progression is what I'm feeling best about coming out of that game. Not to say that it can't continue against the Rams. We will have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. But if that's the main takeaway for me is that the Patriots are trending in a positive direction.
It's hard to like even comprehend that we have to even say terms like the Patriots are finally trending in the right direction. You know, they haven't posted the fact that they're now at 6-6 and the road to 10-6 while, you know, it's difficult always to win any one game, let alone 4 in a row or 6 in a row or 9 of 10, you know, as the Patriots would have to do to get to 10-6. This is a team that has won 10 plus games almost every year of Bill Belichick's career. And, you know, you lose Tom Brady and then it's like going to be this transition year. I think maybe not even enough credit is given to Bill Belichick for, you know, especially at this point, especially if they finish 9-7 as coach of the year, you know, to lose so many players on the COVID list that have decided to opt out, to bring in Cam Newton, who, you know, I've not been shy over the last 5 years of saying that I think Cam Newton is not a very good quarterback. A lot of people don't like that I say that, but it is, I guess, one of my opinions that he's just a fine overall player, maybe, but not a very good passer. And, you know, being with the New England Patriots, you know, they've won these last two games, and he's thrown for a total of 153 yards. How have the Patriots looked in the last 5 weeks as they've started to win these games? How would you say the Patriots look as compared to the Patriots you've become accustomed to in the last 20 years? Is this sort of like, despite the fact that this is clearly not Tom Brady, is this sort of the same Patriots that you've come to expect?
In some elements, they are, because the Patriots have always been built around very strong leadership. And they still have the leadership, even with Tom Brady gone. They still have Matthew Slater, Devin McCourty. Those are guys that people naturally work around. And I feel like that element is still in place. Even with Cam Newton, the team absolutely loves what he brings to the table. He's been voted a captain despite having joined, I think, 2 or 3 months earlier. So that speaks for his character and speaks for how well he adapted to the new system. And so that's one thing that hasn't changed the last 10, 12 years, in my opinion. Ever since the 2009 season, it was a bit shaky when it comes to internal leadership, but I don't want to go.
My perception, and I'm just, maybe no one would tell me better than you, my perception of, like, let's say Tom Brady with the media is different than my perception of Cam Newton with the media. Would you say that is fair, or it's just sort of,
I mean, I have to be honest, Cam's a pleasure to cover. He's really open. He's given a lot of thought in his answers, which I wouldn't say Brady did not, but Brady was like Belichick in a way. He's really straightforward. He's like a racehorse with the blinders on, just always charging forward and not giving away too much, not giving away too little. It's always a little bit shaky. But Cam's just an amazing charismatic guy, and that really makes fun covering him. And it's also what I believe the Patriots like in him, that he is who he is, and he's not shy to show it. And a lot of people were thinking, like, hey, how can this work with Bill Belichick? Belichick never cared about character and stuff like that. That's always been an overblown issue. He cares about production, and he cares how people's character works within the overall context of the team. And what the last few weeks tell me, and the way that the Patriots are starting to bounce back, is that Cam is working with the team, and he is working with the culture that the team has. So from that perspective, I feel like it's been a rather smooth transition from Brady to Newton. Obviously, he's not the same type of quarterback. He's not the same type of player that Brady is, for better and for worse. But that's of course the major change when you
Let's say, you know, another thing is that the Patriots are led in receiving by Damier Byrd and Jacoby Myers. And, you know, this is not a Rob Gronkowski team. It's not even a Julian Edelman team right now. This is clearly not, they don't have those weapons that they did before. You know, Tom Brady gets to go to an offense that is completely different, you know, just this comparison from what it was last year. And of course, I think his numbers improve a little bit and his production improves a little bit when that happens. If the Patriots had, you know, signed, I don't know, not Phillip Rivers, because he's pretty much toast, I think, in many respects. But, you know, if the Patriots were out there working with a productive quarterback like a Ryan Tannehill, maybe not like a superstar, could they even put up big numbers with the offensive weapons? What's holding back some of these offensive weapons from having greater production? Is it the quarterback, or is it they aren't talented enough?
I have to go a little bit on a tangent here. Last year during training camp, Josh McDaniels spoke with the media, and he was asked about the style of the offense, because the Patriots were coming off a Super Bowl win where they ran the ball. I mean, they ran it against the Rams, Sony Michel scoring the game winner in the championship game. And, so people were wondering, hey, what will this offense look like in 2019? And Josh McDaniels said, well, the style of offense you have to play always has to reflect the talents of your team. And when I look at the Patriots offensive roster and skill position players, their strength is in the backfield. They have Damon Harris. They have Sony Michel. They have James White. They have an interior offensive line who might be the best in the NFL when it comes to run blocking and pass protection. They're really, really good. Up there with the Browns, in my opinion. So those are the strengths of the team. Now, if you add, say, Ryan Tannehill, or say another more prolific passer than Cam Newton has been recently, there is a chance that the strengths change a little bit towards the quarterback, but the receivers stay the same. So you'd also have to upgrade there. The way I see it is that the Patriots look at their roster and feel like they are a run-first team just because that's the personnel that they have. That does not mean they are not capable of throwing the football. Mm-hmm. They did it against the Seahawks. They did it not quite as successfully against the Texans, but it all ties together with the scheme. So it's not like looking at the players and saying, yeah, they're not good enough, or they're unable to beat press man coverage, which is all true to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But it's also not as black and white. So when I say when you ask me what's wrong with the group, why isn't it more productive? I feel like the Patriots are actively trying to get the run game going just because that's their strong suit. That's what they feel most comfortable about. That's what Cam Newton probably feels most comfortable doing. And everything that goes beyond that has been a struggle, but they have players who have produced, like Jacoby Myers. He may not be a number one wide receiver, but he did consistently post his numbers. He has a good rapport with Newton. N'Keal Harry, from a first-round draft pick, they're bringing him along slowly. The thing that I see is I'm not sure the Patriots can win when they have to throw the ball, because they haven't done that yet. But that doesn't mean that they can't do it when the game plan calls for it, when the opponent allows it. So as you see, just by the fact that I've been talking for the last 20 minutes about that, it's pretty complicated, and it all ties together with who they have, in my opinion.
Yeah, and talking about that offense versus the Rams defense, you know, getting into the game matchups, I guess, because the LA Rams have, I think, you know, they have an argument as the best team, as the best defense in the NFL. You know, there's always going to be shades of gray, and we're making comparisons. You know, no one statistic or no five statistics, I think, will tell anybody who the best defense in the NFL is. It's an opinion. There's a lot of things that go into it, but hey, when you've got Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey to set the tone in the front and the back, and everybody in between them is going to play a little bit better. Plus, I think the Rams do have some talented players in between them, including John Johnson and Jordan Fuller and Leonard Floyd and so on. It's interesting though, because you know, the last few weeks, in the last couple of weeks, Jalen Ramsey in the NFC West, he has to cover DeAndre Hopkins twice a season. He has to cover DK Metcalf twice a season. He has to cover maybe Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk with the 49ers. I don't know what he's going to do against the Patriots. What's the point of Jalen Ramsey in this game? I have no idea, because he's taking out a player maybe that's not going to be that productive anyway. I guess the big question here is that your strength if it's in the interior of the offensive line or out there around the offensive line, do you have confidence against the best player in the world with Aaron Donald? Do you have confidence that he will stay off of Cam Newton and the running backs?
I mean, he did stay off Tom Brady 2 years ago, and it was the same line. So, yeah. Of course, you can't compare those two games. The Patriots had Rob Gronkowski back then. They had a Julian Edelman who was just eating Aqib Talib's lunch that day. So, that's not the same team, but the blockers, they're still the same. It's still mm-hmm. Joe Tooney at left guard, David Andrews at center, and Shaq Mason at right guard. It's really hard to compare. I mean, the Patriots have always approached games by having your best players not beat you. If your number three wide receiver beats you, okay, then so be it. But your number one wide receiver is not going to beat you. Your number one defensive lineman is not going to beat you, usually. So Aaron Donald is amazing. Your listeners probably know how good he is.
Yeah.
And even I, from an outside perspective, having seen him in person, having seen what he does, the dude's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to stop him. But I do feel that the Patriots have personnel and the schematic flexibility to just scheme around him. I mean, it'll be hard.
It will be hard, but and it will be interesting, you know, if people would say that, maybe the Rams' pass defense is a little bit better than their run defense, and we would see how that impacts an offense. We know that, you know, you talked about Josh McDaniels and the coaching and Bill Belichick and the way that they plan, and you talked about that Super Bowl, which is going to haunt a lot of Rams fans in the way that, their offense and the way that things were going so well during the regular season, including up to that 54-51 win over the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football that everybody remembers. After that, things didn't go as well. Todd Gurley didn't play as much and wasn't as healthy. And then in the Super Bowl, it was like everything came together, and they for teams going against the Rams, and 3 points happens, and they can't get anything done, and Jared Goff can't get anything done. Maybe this game will just come down not to how Cam Newton does against a really good defense, because maybe the Patriots, score 16 points or whatever. The real question is, can the Rams score more than 16 points? How is the Patriots defense looking right now? And I noticed, and I'm sure a lot of people have noticed, and maybe you get this question a lot, just like, is who's better? Like, if you had to pick one guy for the next 3 years, would you rather have JC Jackson or Stephon Gilmore? Or are those interceptions coming because Stephon Gilmore is present?
Yeah, to a certain degree, yes. Because you have Stephon Gilmore. It's like you have Jalen Ramsey. The other guys are benefiting from that.
Yeah. That's
the same type of player that they are. Those are the elite five cornerbacks. JC Jackson is not that yet, but he's pretty good. But Stephon Gilmore was out for 3 games earlier this year. He took over the role as the number one, and he played against Stephon Diggs. He did really well. He struggled a bit against the Jets for some absolutely weird reason, because it's the Jets.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, but, 3 years is a tough time. Just from when it comes to contract value, I'd probably pick JC Jackson, because he's a restricted free agent next year, which means he's probably around $4 million.
Right.
Stephon Gilmore's, I think, at 12 or something, which is still good value, but
it is.
He'll be 31. So, hard to tell. I think JC Jackson will be the Patriots' next number one cornerback, unless some team comes in with an enormous offer in 2 years and blows them out of the water.
Is that going to be, is that going to be a big deal to Bill Belichick? Because we've seen this history with him. He wants to go out and get Darrelle Revis 1 year, and then he'll be fine with not having Darrelle Revis the next year. He didn't re-sign Malcolm Butler or Logan Ryan. And certain guys, it's like the defensive backs in New England are either super important, like going out and getting a free agent like Stephon Gilmore, which, it's so rare for the New England Patriots to spend money on players of their own, or especially players from other teams, and they've committed so long to Devin McCourty and Patrick Chung, as their safeties, where it's like clearly Belichick has this value in his defensive backs. Is that coming to an end, do you think, like for the Stephon Gilmore? And do you think that JC Jackson will be that guy that Belichick decides, yeah, of course, this is the guy that I will lock on to.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I can see that happening, actually, because, you know, Darren McCourty's 32, 33 years old, so yeah. The end's in sight. I mean, he probably play next year just because of the way his contract is structured, but I think that he and Gilmore will be gone within the next 2 years. That's a reasonable projection, in my opinion. And then you have Jackson and Kyle Duggar, second-round pick out of Lenoir Ryan this year, who's looked really good the last few weeks. So I feel like the Patriots want those two guys to take over. The thing is, the Patriots had some really bad cornerback play and secondary play in the early 2010s. And I feel as if Belichick is looking at it and goes like, ugh, I don't want that again. So when you see what the Patriots had when Darrelle Revis was their number one, when Malcolm Butler was their number one after that, when Gilmore was their number one after Butler, all those defenses have played pretty good football, especially compared to the 2010-2011 years, which were just terrible, terrible defensive teams. So I can see the Patriots invest in J.C. Jackson to keep him long-term, just because they know the value of having a really good outside cornerback.
Who is someone on the Patriots defense whose statistics don't tell the picture of how good he is?
Jason Binovich. He has, I think, 2.5 sacks or 3.5 sacks this season.
Yep, 3.5 sacks.
Spent a few games essentially being, I don't know, in the doghouse or something. He just didn't play a lot. Mm-hmm. He's come along really nice since then. He had a ton of pressure against against the Chargers. He had like, I think, 3 disruptions or something, and he looked good against the Cardinals. He really developed into a nice player recently, and I feel like he is a guy who not a lot of people will know. He's not putting up sacks, which is a pretty prominent statistic for an outside linebacker or defensive lineman. So the fact that he has only 3.5 of them makes you think like, yeah, maybe he's just an average guy. Mm-hmm. But he's really important to the operation just because he's really good at setting the edge in the run game. He's pretty flexible on stunts and on knowing how to attack an offense. And he's probably the player who made the biggest jump from year one to year two this season for the Patriots. So I think he would perfectly fit that category that you were just talking about.
Speaking of year one, this is maybe one of the more important draft classes for the Patriots, because they are, or at least a lot of people are framing them as, you know, kind of rebuilding in the sense of, okay, well, it's the Brady era is over, and next year maybe they will be drafting a quarterback. You know, the idea that they would have maybe even tanked for a good quarterback in the draft, you know, that's kind of in the rear view, because it looks like the Patriots will at least not be drafting in the top 10, and possibly not even in the top 15. And you know, who knows? This could be a playoff team. They aren't far out of it. But this year's draft class, they didn't take a first-round pick. They moved down. They get Kyle Duggar, the safety. I noticed he's kind of an older rookie. But their best rookie has been Michael Onwenu, if I'm saying that one correctly. What is your evaluation on Michael Onwenu and the draft class as a whole?
I think it's basically what you just said, that it's a foundational type of class. The Patriots, and Bill Belichick talked about that earlier during the season, kind of sold out for the last few years of the Brady era. Mm-hmm. They had an incredibly experienced team at the top of the depth chart. So there was not really much opportunity for rookies to come in and contribute. They only picked four players in 2017. And then 2018, they slowly started to change the philosophy again by throwing as many picks at the wall as they could. So this year's class is pretty much the same. And there has been a lot of positives, in my opinion. Like Kyle Duggar is essentially a starting safety now for them. Mm-hmm. He shares reps with Adrian Phillips in the star role as the strong safety linebacker hybrid. Then you have Josh Uche, who missed a couple of games because of an injury. He's coming strong. He had three quarterback hits, I think, on Sunday versus the Chargers. So he's now their third pass rusher behind Vinovich and John Simon after they moved on from Derek Rivers, who's now with the Rams, of course.
Right.
So he's kind of the guy who's filling the situational role, and he's looked good. Then you have Anthony Jennings, who was picked out of Alabama in the third round. He's been like more of a mixed bag. I can see him transition into that Hightower role, Dante Hightower, like the move role at the end and off the line. He's not there yet, but he's seeing steady snaps, about 10 to 20% per week, I would say. So those are all players who have a lot of long-term potential. And they've been thrust into the starting roles just because of all the opt-outs. I mean, Dante Hightower gone. Then you have the free agency departures, Calvin Noy, Jamie Collins. The Patriots lost, I think it was six of their top 11 players in defensive playing time over the offseason, which naturally created some opportunity for the rookies on defense. And on offense, you have Marcus Cannon, the right tackle, opt out. You have Jermaine Illuminor, who was his replacement, hurt his ankle and missed a few weeks. And then you have the sixth-round guy who never played tackle, who only played guard, who mostly played right guard, and then he's in New England, he's playing right tackle, and he's been really, really good. And I can see him, like, honestly, a lot of things can change, of course, but that's a foundational type player on the offensive line, Michael Manu. So, so far he's looking like a steal. He honestly looks like an offensive rookie of the year candidate. Because he's a lineman, no lineman wins that award unless he's absolutely spectacular. But that didn't happen.
I have thoughts on the draft in general, where I just think that it's pretty much just luck in a lot of respects. And even with all the success that the Patriots have had in 20 years, I don't know that the Patriots have necessarily have had that good of drafts, you know, and not necessarily like crushing it every year in the draft. And they're not picking high, so you're not going to find a lot of those premier prospects, which means anybody you find that's really good is a bonus. You know, even in the case of Onwenu, where it's like, yes, he was a sixth round steal, they still drafted a kicker in the fifth round. So they still drafted a kicker.
Who's on a practice squad now?
Yeah, it didn't make the team. But the Patriots, you know, still have a way, and Belichick has a way of getting people up to speed, I suppose, and being able to know who his best players on the field are going to be to get the job done that he wants. Is there anybody in on his coaching staff, whether that's Josh McDaniels, is there anybody primed to be that next guy? That's sort of the you know, and then I'm going to let you go and we'll move on. But is there anybody that you see as the future there, a coach that might get poached during the coaching candidacy interview rounds this year? Any rising stars over there?
Well, this year it's only McDaniels, in my opinion, because the rest of the staff is just either inexperienced or Ivan Fears, who's the Patriots running backs coach, who's been with them for 25 years. So those are the only extremes you have. And then there's Josh McDaniels in the middle. So I would say if one of the assistants moves on, it's McDaniels. It's hard to tell if he really does, because he's been in that situation before. When it comes to future years, like I'm talking 2023 or something, it will be interesting to see what A, what Belichick himself does, and what Steve Belichick does, his son, who's working at, who's the most senior defensive assistant, who's the play caller. So you wonder, will he take over? Will he be the next coordinator? What will his future look like? And along those lines, what will the future of Gerard Mayo look like, who spent some time with the Patriots, was a really good inside linebacker, first-round draft pick, and he's now an assistant coach since last year, and one of the smartest players to come through the Patriots system.
Yeah.
No matter who you talk to, they're all praising Gerard Mayo for his leadership, for his football knowledge. So he's probably also a guy, in case Steve Belichick does not leave, who could get poached as a future head coach a few years further down the line. But of course, you know, you also have Bill O'Brien and Matt Patricia, and they didn't work out. So people might be weary of that when it comes to picking like those apples from the Belichick tree.
Yeah, it's interesting. Because, yeah, you're also talking about the same year that Brian Flores, could beat the Patriots. You know, obviously the head of the Patriots in the standings now. And Joe Judge is in the first place in his division. Although,
but that's like,
it's a little
I
bit,
don't know, like I've seen being first place in the NFC is just not.
My mind is a little burnt right now because I've been making this video where I criticize Colin Coward. And and he just is getting off this perch of his where he's talking about how, he was right about this and that, and that Joe Judge has proven himself to be a great coach because they just beat the Seahawks, and no mention of the
4-7.
Yeah, no mention of the fact they haven't beaten any other good teams, and they're in first place with the worst division and the worst record. Yep. So, but nothing against Joe Judge either. We'll see if he is a good long-term coach, unlike maybe some of those other coaches that have come around. Yep. Bernd Buchmaster, thank you so much. The website, of course, is patspulpit.com. And anyone listening, and you want to see what the quote-unquote enemy is saying before and after the game this Thursday, Patriots-Rams, head over to Pat's Pulpit. Bernd, any parting thoughts before we sign off?
Stay safe. That's like anything. That's everything else that I would say would not matter, no matter what I say. So stay safe, stay healthy.
Good advice. Stay safe, stay healthy. Hey, hopefully the players take that advice as well. Stay safe and definitely stay healthy. And let's see what happens between the Patriots and Rams. Both teams need this win for their postseason aspirations and then their standings. That's it for this episode of Pod TST. Come back next week and we will preview the next team.